Today we're being relentlessly fed the propaganda that there are so many varieties of gender with which we must be comfortable. Anything apparently up to 63 or even to 81 and rising. This is bound to be bewildering to the overwhelming majority of people who, as a result of living on this planet for years, have become accustomed to trust the judgment of what their own eyes can see, what science can prove, and what scripture has always maintained: God made them male and female. And so they've been able to visualise and verify that there are precisely two genders, male and female. Evidently, that's it. Contrary to the world of make-believe, the parameters of the realm of reality cannot tolerate any additions or rivals. Tolerate, did you say? Yeah, that's what you need. More tolerance. Take this for a classic example of modern tolerance. And that commodity has been served up in bucket loads this week, even in our local governing assembly in Northern Ireland and through our media. Apparently, anyone can freely switch along an almost limitless and entirely imaginary gender spectrum without penalty. Identifying as genderqueer one day, homogender the next, and just to further mix it up and introduce yet another layer of confusion to it all, xenogender the next day. All without restriction, all without outcry, all without generating an avalanche of the most savage and vile tweets on Twitter. But despite the huge tolerances built into this spurious spectrum, no one is at liberty to change from a homosexual lifestyle to a heterosexual one. Absolutely not, because you must understand that kind of conversion is not to be permitted, not to be tolerated, totally taboo. And it ties in with a conversation I had several years ago with a young man who had identified as gay, was deeply embedded into the scene, lived in a house with other homosexual men, and now aching inside for deliverance from his sinful practices and wanting to come out publicly for the Lord Jesus Christ. He told me, in brokenness and in fear, that no matter how much he wanted to, he couldn't make the break in his current circumstances, as, I can't tell you, Mr. Brown, the gross things those guys would do to me if they discovered I wanted to get out. Sounds suspiciously like where the actual intolerance, cruelty, even torture lies. Patently, those who advocate for no conversion therapy have no eyes for evidence, because the evidence is in, and has been in from the earliest days. The evidence of changed lives, the testimonies of thousands of people who have documented their transformations on YouTube and Google and through books and magazines, and the primary evidence base of God's own holy word is plain. I'm thinking of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through to 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. To throw out all the fantasy and come at this biblically, we're all born into one category: sinners. Broken, needing fixed, needing a cure, and praise God, we may find that in the gospel of God's grace. As these lines so succinctly put it, all by nature are doomed to die, so saith the holy word. Welcome therefore the joyful cry: there's life in the risen Lord. Pardon, power, and perfect peace the words of this life afford. Never then let the tidings cease of life in the risen Lord. Tune in tomorrow morning, the Trojan horse, conversion therapy.